question that I think everybody could discuss. What are the major problems in medical education today? So we start with Dr. Hollinger.
Money, Dr. Dillon said. I don't know.
I didn't say that. Dr. Hoffman said it.
Well, I think there was a wonderful article in the AOA journal just recently. Let's give the medical schools back to the students. And as far as I'm concerned, I have a very strong feeling that this is so much the case, that with the greater and greater stress on research and the lesser and lesser position of the medical student in the actual classroom with the professor or the instructor, who himself is away doing his research work and getting his research sent, writing his papers and all, I wonder if the student isn't a bit lost in this complex. Do we throw him in the clinics, throw him in the hospitals as clerks, before they've really had the basic knowledge? And we find that in the internship years then, the stress is laid by these men that they want the didactic teaching that they fail to get in the medical schools. And I'm a little stronger for didactic teaching than the completely uncontrolled so-called bedside case history type of work. It must have some sort of a basis of fact. And to me, this is one of our problems. The pendulum has swung so far away. The medical student is thrown into the hospital, onto the wards, often before he is knowledgeable as to what's going on. And then he comes to a point where he then again wants this summary sort of didactic discussion. And the year that he spends then as an intern, he's always in conferences somewhere, and he's not exposed to the patient. Or at least he doesn't permit himself to be exposed to the patient, to really get down and study his patient, as opposed to the former way where he was anxious to get into an internship and spend time with patients. He's been on the wards too long without a basic knowledge.
You're gone.
Well, I think we should stop teaching medical students to be specialists before we teach them how to be doctors.
How do you do that?
Well, I think, first of all, research, this idea of research, that everybody has to spend time in research, is, I think, one of the worst things that ever happened in the concept. It's an intellectual, I don't know, fetish. Unless you have 17 papers after your name, you really are not considered to be anybody, you know? I mean, this publish-or-perish concept that's getting in medical schools and so forth, the faculty, and where teaching is of less importance than research, just as Dr. Hollinger said. The idea that in courses in anatomy, in courses in biochemistry, in courses in pharmacology, in courses in physiology, the courses are not pointed to the MD, they're pointed to the PhD. And this, I think, is an error. And then one gets into the clinical years, and one has the tremendous emphasis in the numbers of specialties. Now, I'm a specialist also, in a sense, but where the students' courses are so fragmented into a variety of specialties with this very highly intense orientation to this is the only thing. The student is confused, and I don't think he receives a broad education. I think he receives a very disarticulated, very fragmented, very confused thing. And then a straight internship on top of this is the worst thing it really ever did happen. This is absolutely a criminal thing, as far as I'm concerned. Where the student leaves medical school, he goes into straight internship in surgery, straight internship in medicine, straight internship in one thing and another, and then he's completely lost. He's of absolutely no value as a doctor, quote unquote, anymore. He's a specialist. And he gets this thing right down the line. I feel, frankly, the best thing could happen would be that all straight internships were done away with, and that before a man could become a specialist, he would have to have a minimum of 5 years of general practice.
Dr. Popma?
Gosh, this sounds like the Russian Revolution. You know,
well,
I agree with you 100%, but we're talking to the wrong group of people.
I know we are.
If this were a meeting of the deans of the medical colleges and the Association of American Medical Colleges, boy, we'd be in a fine position to perhaps try to convince some of these people. But these are the people in their organization who control the education.
We got a trustee in the AMA up there.
Yes, I know. The AMA is carrying on a running battle with that particular organization at the present time. I would agree wholeheartedly that everybody should have a minimum of general practice, but I think you're going to have to talk to the people who run the various specialty boards. I tried a couple of years ago to talk to some of them with the idea that perhaps some of these young men would be given credit toward their specialty boards if they put in 3 or 4 years of general practice. And this went over like a dead fish.
Did the same thing?
It really did.
1 year of research is better than 10 years of general practice.
Well, I don't know, Lee. I think I'm a better doctor because I did some general practice. I think I'm a better radiologist because I had 3.5 years of general practice before I went back and took a residency. Now, perhaps some of my colleagues won't agree with me. They'd say, probably you're worse. You're not any good. But it's my feeling that there are many people in this country who can use the services of a general practitioner, and that we do not have enough people who do general practice, and that we perhaps could work out a system whereby these young men and young women could go out in the communities and could learn something of the art of the practice of medicine, which they sure as hell don't learn in medical school today. They come out of a medical school, they're super-duper scientists. They're excellently trained. I think we have no criticism of the scientific training they get. But when it comes to the art of the practice of medicine, most of them are quite lacking.
Right. Of course, the purpose of medical education is to eventually have the benefits of this, namely the doctor accrue to the needs of the community. And in order to accomplish this, we need what I call 3 ingredients. 1, you need good teachers. 2, you need proper students. And 3, you need the association of the student and the teacher in the place where the disease takes place, which is usually the hospital environment. Now, if you get these 3 together, you get teaching, but in good teaching, you get the proper kind of doctors in a program of what I call balanced excellence. Gardner, you know, wrote this book on excellence in education. I feel that we've reached the stage where we need in medicine what I term balanced excellence, where there's a proper interrelationship between the mainstreams of biology and clinical medicine. In order to accomplish this, I think there has to be a closer relationship between our educational institutions and our other existing institutions where doctors work. And there's too great a dichotomy between the so-called classical teaching institutions and the workshops in which most of us work, because education is a continuous and a lifelong process. It isn't any good just to educate the doctor for 4 years in medical school. This is a lifelong process, as far as I'm concerned, and a way of life, and one which will only be accomplished by relating our teaching institutions to the workshops in which the majority of doctors are working. And this, I think, in the larger communities is certainly possible if you establish more desirable relationships between your teaching hospitals and your community hospitals. This bridges the gap. It prevents the loss of the doctor from the educational environment. It keeps him abreast of times. And it also enables him to be a participant in this educational process, because many of us have a lot to give, some the science, some the art, and the two of them have to flow side by side in what I term balanced excellence. Well, this, of course, is going to solve a lot of our economic problems in medicine, because we all can't build $100 million university hospitals every month, and regardless of how affluent the state is. We've got to learn to use existing institutions. We've got to learn to use existing talent. We've got to get these 3 essential ingredients together, the teacher, the student, and the disease. This is, again, since the days of Hippocrates, and there has to be a more uniform interrelationship, in my opinion, between all levels of teaching, and out of this will come a learning environment in which both the teacher and the student and the patient will benefit. Because I don't think you get good patient care unless you keep a patient in the kind of environment where he's treated in an area where medicine is advancing. You can't do this without having these interrelationships.